comrades. Let's get this thing started. It's Monday, the 13th of June, 2011. It's a little bit after 11 a.m. in the Eastern time zone. And that means that this must be Freedom Frenzy because I feel like Jerry DeMars this morning. Do you feel like Jennifer Hodges today too, dear? Or is the move from one zip code to a more welcoming zip code make you feel like somebody else entirely?
Jerry, I'm so excited to be back in the Republican fascist regime of Georgia and reunited with all my comrades. I'm so excited to be home.
Well, it's sort of like standing at the fence line on the gulag, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I'd rather be inside the fence with the rest of my friends. Let me in. Let me in. It was so funny when we crossed over the border into Georgia. John goes, is Gabe in a car seat? Because Gabriel's six and he hasn't been in a car seat for 2 years because it's actually more dangerous in the event of a big, massive car wreck for him to be in a booster seat than just to be in a regular lap belt. It's so evidenced by the fact he was in a lap belt when we were on a highway wreck in December and he was perfectly fine. Anyway, I said, yes, I put him in the booster seat because Georgia Republicans have passed new status legislation requiring up to 8-year-olds to be in booster seats. And I said, hail Hitler for taking good care of the state children.
So my little text message to you was rather timely yesterday.
Oh, it was, Jerry. Once again, our karma is right on me. Oh, I'm so elated to be back home. I'm so excited. So we arrived. We left our driveway at about 4:30 in the morning yesterday morning, and we were in the driveway of John's parents, I think at about 7:30 last night. And in spite of the fact that we did stop 4 times for gas and Vivian, mostly her bathroom breaks. But anyway, it was a great trip, and now we're settled in.
Yeah, shall we tell everybody in those states between Texas and Georgia just how short a period of time you made that trip in?
Was it 14 and a half hours?
No, actually, I guesstimated because you hadn't reached Dunwoody yesterday when I got that text message. I actually tacked on a half an hour and said it was about 16 hours and then did the math and including the fact that you guys stopped 4 times for, you know, with 6 kids, Lord knows why you'd have to do that. But you were averaging a little over 62 miles an hour, including the time lost at those bathroom and other sorts of stops that you were making. So I thought that that was extraordinarily good time, particularly when you come through Mississippi and the other part of Alabama that you came through, and most of the expressways, you're airborne most of the time because they're poorly maintained.
Yes, very poorly maintained, and the popo were out in force, so I was so thankful that they found other victims besides us. And John did all the driving, so I got to catch up on some reading I had wanted to read some of C.S. Lewis's sci-fi writings, and I think I read Silent Planet yesterday, and I read quite a few chapters out loud to John. We really enjoyed it. It was a great trip, great trip, and the kids were so excited to be coming to Georgia that in spite of their 16 hours, the little boys in the very back seat did not start raising a ruckus until they had been in the car 14 hours. They were good as gold until then.
I guess maybe you're glad to be back here in the state of Georgia has gotten one of our listeners kind of questioning what you might be smoking, dear, because they suggest that you package it and sell it. But I guess they don't recognize that you've got so many friends and so many roots put down here in Georgia that it was indeed like coming back home. And the situation in Texas is quite the contrary. You're there. You don't know a whole lot of people and are certainly not involved in any kind of
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org. Or call 908-691-2608 today.
And it's all because of an article that I sent to Jenny this morning that appears in Lou Rockwell. And basically, there's growing indications that society, yes, even American society, even American polite society, in some instances, is beginning to crack because of the pressures of a declining, maybe even a depressed economy are having on it. And you know, government, too, is reacting to this reaction, I guess would be the best way to put that, and the fact that a lot of people are in government are getting very, very much afraid that the people may indeed reassert themselves, as is their right and duty, you know, according to the Declaration of Independence. And we'll come back to that in just a moment. But there's this story out of the city of Cedar Falls, Iowa, where they have, in a city council vote, voted to demand keys to all commercial properties, which include rental homes and apartments. And these keys are to be placed in lock boxes that the city employees can access at will. Ordinance number 2740, an unfunded citywide mandate, by the way, was passed by a resounding 6-1 vote. I can't imagine what they were thinking. And it requires the citizens of Cedar Falls, Iowa, to give the city government keys to their commercial properties through those universal lockboxes. The so-called intent of this program is to provide, get me now, increased safety and protection to personal, private property, which of course would include businesses, apartments, and some rental houses, which, by the way, comes at the expense of furthering wayward erosion of fundamental constitutional rights. Cedar Falls, Iowa's city council voted to take the keys of residents to enter their businesses and some residential properties for the sake of security. This is clearly government in overreach mode and is quite unconstitutional. The next council meeting, however, is set for this very evening in Cedar Falls, and I'd like to be a fly on the wall at that meeting because I'll bet it's going to be a barn burner. Get them, boys! Back to you, dear.
Barn burner always sounds good. Gary, I've got a very interesting article that National News posted regarding the earthquake and tsunami in Japan, and apparently a freelance journalist named Jim Stone is offering very compelling evidence that the official story is a cover-up. Of course, you and I always start from the conspiracy theory viewpoint, the conspiracy facts.
Yep.
And then gradually work our way around to whatever the media is spoon-feeding us. But I think he raises some very interesting things that we need to consider. First, the massive impact of an actual 9.0 magnitude earthquake, which would have been about 100 times more powerful than the 6.8 magnitude Great Hanshin earthquake of 95 that destroyed much of the city of Kobe, located about 12.5 miles from the epicenter. That earthquake killed more than 6,400 people. If the March 11th earthquake in Japan was actually a 9.0, it would have devastated everything within a 1,000-mile radius of the epicenter. And yet, the city of Sendai, for example, which is only about 48 miles from the epicenter, suffered virtually no structural damage whatsoever. The only areas that suffered any significant damage at all were areas hit by the tsunami, which included the Fukushima nuclear plant. Besides the immense damage that occurred at the tsunami-hit nuclear plant, there was virtually no seismic damage in any other town or city. Excuse me just a second. We're kind of having a few technical difficulties. Anyway, according to this journalist's review, the size of the earthquake that hit off Japan's coast actually registered at only about a 6.67 magnitude, according to some readings. Why should we care about all of this? Well, I think you'll see as I move on here. According to Stone's analysis, this is Jim Stone, an independent journalist who's looked into this, the damage that took place at the Fukushima nuclear facility could not have been the result of just flooding or even a 9.0 earthquake, assuming that one actually occurred. High-resolution aerial images of the damaged plant taken on March 24th show not only a completely missing Reactor 3, despite ongoing reports that it was still there, but also a completely demolished Reactor 4. Remember the massive explosion that took place at Reactor 3 just a few days after the tsunami hit? Blamed on hydrogen buildup, this disastrous event could not have occurred as a result of damage caused by the earthquake or tsunami, because a special emergency hydrogen stack designed specifically to deal with hydrogen buildup had been installed at Fukushima following the disastrous Three Mile Island incident. This special hydrogen stack does not require electricity to run, so it was fully operational during the time of the explosion and would have mitigated any hydrogen buildup. And what about the mysterious Reactor 4 explosion, which occurred despite the fact the reactor had been defueled and was allegedly non-operational? Even in a worst-case scenario where fuel rods completely melt down, the type of explosion that would follow would not be capable of literally disintegrating Reactor 4's thick concrete walls, which is what actually occurred.
And Reactor 4 was so heavily damaged by this explosion that it was expected to literally collapse. So what caused these massive explosions in Reactors 3 and 4 to occur? Well, let me move on. According to Stone, nuclear weaponry was used to forcibly demolish these structures. Magna BSP, a security firm, allegedly installed massive security cameras inside the reactors prior to the disaster. These cameras weighed over 1,000 pounds and look oddly similar to uranium gun-type nuclear bombs. And you can actually go to Jim Stone's website, jimstonefreelance.com, if you want to follow up on this story. It appears as though nuclear weapons disguised as security cameras may have been used to blow up Fukushima's reactors. Perhaps this explains the reason for the information blackout on Reactor 4 that occurred in the days following the disaster.
Jenny, I must be on. I have to be honest with you, dear. The way that this fellow is approaching this, it sounds kind of suppositional. And it's almost as though he's taking the evidence that's immediately available and trying to put some sort of story together that might just work. You get my feelings there?
Yes, I agree with you, Gary, but I still think there's more here that's worth... I think it might be worth looking into. And, you know, there was another HARP article that came up last week that I was reading into. I think it's worth opening it up in our minds and just waiting to see what else rolls out.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree. I think he doesn't have any concrete evidence.
Well, let me ask you a question. You know, there's been a lot of conversation about HARP. How much has HARP cost the American people? How much money have we put into that array that's up there in Alaska? And to what benefit has that expenditure been to the American people? Does anybody have any idea?
How could we even weigh that out, Gary?
Well, but that's exactly my point. If they're not willing to let us know how we benefit from it, then why in the world are we paying for it?
I'm not sure how front and center it is in the consciousness of Americans that the technology of HARP even exists.
Oh, I think in the back of most people's minds, they've at least heard of HARP, and they think it's some sort of giant radio station, if you will, that happens to be perched up there in Alaska. And God only knows that, and the people operating the equipment, of course, what they're actually doing with that equipment. And I think that it's high time that the American people find out. Now, I'm not sure what that's going to take, but you know, I guess it's because I've been writing that speech for July 4th for the thing that I've got to do here in Carroll County. But I have been reading and digesting a lot of notes and literary things about the Declaration of Independence. And it seems to me that if, in fact, the Declaration is an instrumental legal document of our country, we need to use it as a crowbar deep on government and find out exactly. Because if they don't have our consent, then why in the world are we giving them the money to do this stuff? And I suspect here and now that it's not for us, it's to us.
Yeah.
And HARP is probably one of those instruments of destruction that we need to know a whole lot more about. And we probably, when we get that information, would very much like to pull the plug, no pun intended. It just seems like we've got to start doing this stuff.
Oh, that's what I've said and we've said about these underground research facilities that are shrouded in mystery with an unending supply of dollars, the HARP technology, and all this other stuff. We have handed over a blank check and absolute anonymity to forces that are aggressively evil and undermining the security of life and liberty. Anyway, we got to cut away to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the signs the collapse is upon us. This is Freedom Frenzy.
For this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Okay, like I said, we've kind of got a theme today, and I've got another news story here that kind of builds on this, and we want you to understand where we're going. But before I give you that, I want to give you something else as kind of an hors d'oeuvre. And you'll know it when you hear it, but I want you to take the words to heart, and I want you to dwell on them as we talk about the rest of the information that we have to present to you today. And it's only an excerpt. I'm not going to read the whole thing. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Now, for those of you that don't recognize that, that's in the very first portion of the Declaration of Independence by Thomas Jefferson. Now, I want you to listen to this. Janet Napolitano has been conducting a campus tour going around the United States, and she recently stopped at the NYU Law School and gave a speech about the state of security as we approach the 10-year anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, and following, of course, on the heels of the announced death of Osama bin Laden, if you're buying those two 50-pound bags of manure. Napolitano laid out a sweeping surveillance agenda that includes citizen spies who have a mission of shared responsibility to thwart core al-Qaeda, foreign groups inspired by al-Qaeda, as well as domestic extremist groups, which apparently include an increasing number of plots by U.S. citizens. She added that there is no single portrait of today's potential terrorist, citing recruiting tactics that even include hip-hop videos and, naturally, cyberspace, the evil internet. Each of the four key ways that she stated as critical to Homeland Security's mission will widen the Stasi-style network of unpaid employees of the state, virtually deputized to spy on their neighbor in the private and public sector and issue reports to the Department of Homeland Security Federal Security Matrix. Now, in case you're wondering what these four strategy keys are, let me give them to you. The very first one is to strengthen the nation's 72 fusion centers, which coordinate with local police, businesses, churches, universities, and even more in a cooperative effort to federalize local communities. Two, continue the expanded use of suspicious activity reports, or SARs, initially used for IRS reporting and for businesses to alert government officials to large cash purchases at their establishments. The new initiative will cover all sectors that will share back to DHS. Three, launch the National Terrorism Advisory System to replace the general color-coded terror alert system now in place and set up a base level high risk, which will be augmented with specific messages. I've read articles that say you're going to be receiving text messages on your telephone about some of these specific high-risk events. One component of this new system that she did not address is that it will be directed toward the individual by utilizing this text messaging system as well as social networks to issue government statements and warnings, or propaganda, of course. So you're going to get text messages. Those of you that got tweet on your phone, you can expect to be hearing love letters or getting love letters from your government, making you safe, of course. And lastly, item number four, continued expansion of a national If You See Something, Say Something campaign that began with the New York Metropolitan Transit Authority and kicked off at private businesses like Walmart, whereby people can receive ongoing messages via telescreens, made me think of 1984, in government buildings, private businesses, and public areas, then report on anyone for any reason without consequence for false reports. Did you get that? Now, on top of this, the FBI has decided that it needs to expand the average agent's investigative power. This story was in the New York Times, and the dateline is Washington. The Federal Bureau of Investigation is giving significant new powers to its roughly 14,000 agents. And I guess I'm going to have to pick this up on the other side of this break, but I think we got a good show in front of you. Stay tuned.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Laying the groundwork for today's program, and right leading up to the break there, I began to tell you about the FBI deciding that it needed to give significant new powers to its power base of approximately 14,000 agents, allowing them considerably more leeway to search through databases, dumpster dive in household trash, or to use surveillance teams to scrutinize the lives of people who have merely attracted their attention. The FBI soon plans to issue a new edition of its manual called the Domestic Investigations and Operations Guide, according to an official who has worked on the draft document and several others who have been briefed on its contents. The new rules add to several measures taken over the past decade to give agents more latitude as they search for signs of criminal or terrorist activity. The FBI recently briefed several privacy advocates about the coming changes. Among them, Michael German, a former FBI agent who is now a lawyer for the American Civil Liberties Union, argued it was unwise to further ease restrictions on agents' power to use potentially intrusive techniques, especially if they lacked a firm reason to suspect someone of wrongdoing. Claiming additional authorities to investigate people only further raises the potential for abuse, German said, pointing to complaints about the Bureau's surveillance of domestic political advocacy groups and mosques, and to an inspector general's findings back in 2007 that the FBI had improperly used national security letters to obtain information like people's phone bills. Valerie E. Caproni, the FBI general counsel, said the Bureau had fixed the problems with the national security letters and had taken steps to make sure that they would not recur. She also said the Bureau, which does not need permission to alter its manual so long as the rules fit within broad guidelines issued by the Attorney General, had carefully weighed the risks and benefits of each change. Some of the most notable changes apply to the lowest category of investigations, called an assessment. The category, created back in December of 2008, allows agents to look into people and organizations proactively and without firm evidence for suspecting criminal or terrorist activity. In other words, just go around sticking their noses in other people's business, sniffing, hoping to find something amiss. Under current rules, agents must open such an inquiry before they can search for information about a person in a commercial or law enforcement database. Under these new rules, however, agents will be allowed to search for such databases without making a record about their decision. So it's going to be kind of like a, Inquisition that they did in Spain, the Spanish Inquisition. That's what they figured. And see, all these things are related to the cracks in the facade of society that government, quite frankly, with its fraudulent money system, interference in our lives and in our business interactions through the overstepping of the Commerce Clause that we've talked about many, many times here on Freedom Frenzy, the misapplication of the General Welfare Clause, and a host of other issues that we've all talked about on Freedom Frenzy, and many of our listeners have weighed in and offered some wonderful commentary about that. Well, now, apparently, it seems as though the hinges are getting a little bit loose, aren't they, Jenny?
Yeah. Jerry, I still am shocked that all of this is going on out of fear-mongering against, and I say primarily, the evangelicals, who have been the biggest hoorah supporters since 2001 of encroaching government scrutiny, that stupid attitude of, well, if you're not a criminal, you got nothing to worry about.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, that's what it is. And that's not the type of mindset that's going to protect those unalienable rights that we like to also talk about here on Freedom Frenzy that are outlined very specifically in that hallowed foundational document that I cited a little bit earlier in the program today. And, you know, I think that as the United States economy collapses, this very, very thin veneer of civilization or society that we all have gotten very comfortable with here in America is going to begin to evaporate. In fact, I think that there's a growing number of indications that this collapse of society, civilization, if you will, has now taken a jump ahead. We here in the South, particularly in Atlanta, we chafe against the fascists that we all have to deal with. It's a power mindset here. And, you know, in many, many respects, the old Southern sheriff with the beer belly, the shades, and a trite attitude are kind of indicative of the governmental system that we have here in Georgia. And I suspect that it extends not only across the South, but north of the Mason-Dixon line, and certainly in many indications, Cedar Falls, Iowa, for instance, where they think that they can control your every thought and deed and your property, apparently. And let's see, the role of government is to protect your life, your liberty, and your property. Is surveillance in there anywhere? I don't think so. Well, anyway,
We're the suspects, Jerry. The fact that the people of America are the suspects. The people of America are the most docile people on earth in terms of being subject to their government. And, you know, if it is the right of the people to abolish the government whenever they so choose, we've been reading Romans 13 incorrectly, because those that need to submit and recognize that those in authority want what is good and want to get rid of and purge that which is evil, it is the people that are in authority, and it is those in elected positions of being servants to the people who are subject to that authority and who must be submissive to that authority.
Mm-hmm.
So even in our reading of Romans 13, we need to step outside this matrix that through the government school system we've all been indoctrinated into accepting and considering normal, and this idea that the government rules over us. We are to rule over the government, and we are abdicating from that responsibility, and that's why we're where we are today.
Well, you know, one of the ways that this societal collapse is going to become manifest is we're going to see a heightened amount of foraging being done by the people that don't have anything. Now, we'll also have to take into consideration that there's a lot of underlying rationale behind what's driving this foraging. Some of it may, quite frankly, simply be out of need, hunger, children are hungry, that kind of thing. We also have to recognize that some of this foraging activity is going to come about because of drug habits. That's another thing. But there's also a more nefarious aspect here that oftentimes gets overlooked, and that's the simple fact that some of this is simply sport or initiation routines for gang activity. All of those things, however, have the same end result, and it's not necessarily a requirement to understand why somebody is doing this, but I think it would give you a better idea of the different ways that this might come about. And it should also serve as an unsteadying device to help you appreciate just how precarious our situation in this country has become. Now, I think it's fairly safe to say, don't you, Jenny, that we should look for these kind of things to crop up in the major metropolitan areas where there's already established gang activity. They're going to lead the country into this kind of activity, into this kind of behavior. And those places would, of course, include New York, Los Angeles and the surrounding areas, and Chicago. And Chicago, for instance here, they're actually reporting some fairly phenomenal information. In such cities as Chicago, roving packs of young people are now doing things called mob robbing local businesses, randomly assaulting tourists and shoppers, and are even pulling people out of vehicles. But this isn't just happening in the so-called bad areas anymore. Over the past couple of months, this type of crime has become very common in some of the more wealthy areas of Chicago. In fact, many Chicago residents are now referring to the Magnificent Mile as the Mug Mile. But it isn't just Chicago where this is happening. During this past Memorial Day weekend, cities all over the United States experienced a stunning wave of mass violence. Now, this is violence directed at ourselves. This is people not turning toward the real focus of the problem, the government. It's, like I said, they're foraging off one the other, trying to take what you've got because, for the reasons that I cited, they want what you have. We're supposed to be an example for the rest of the world, as you know, here in America. That's the thing that the government says. We're out there making the world safe for democracy, or we're trying to expand democracy all across the world. But as our economic wealth crumbles, we are witnessing the collapse of society all around us. So what is going to happen when the economy gets even worse? What do you think, dear?
I think it's unfortunate that these people are lashing out at other slaves on the plantation rather than directing their hatred at the real enemy. And I think that's where we can see the influence of the government indoctrination program, you know, all across the country, keeping the people in ignorance as to from what exactly their misery spawns. You know, Lee and George has been waiting on the line for a while. I think we better bring him on. Lee, welcome to Freedom Frenzy. What's on your mind?
Good morning, guys.
How's it going?
I'm not too bad. I could have waited till whenever, you know, not have been not any big issue. Let's talk a little bit about what state was that now? Iowa?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First of all, they can have all Cedar that Falls, democracy Iowa. They want. Democracy is like two wolves and a sheep debating on what's for dinner. The public, yep. You got 100 wolves and one sheep, you still can't eat the darn sheep. So, and with that, folks, just look around the world. Everywhere where America has tried to promote democracy, look what's going on. Now, you know, I'm curious. Was it the people who voted in favor of this turning over keys, or was this the
city council? No, it's the city council. It's the city council, because it was only a 6-1 vote. And I can't imagine what was going through the heads of those six people that said, yeah, let's be democratic about this and make all these people turn over their keys so we can make them safe.
Can you imagine? And by the way, Kenny, welcome home.
hey, I am so happy to be back home.
We missed you, darling. I'm kind of wondering, can you imagine what would happen if the city council in any city in Georgia, could you imagine what would happen if that were to happen here in Georgia? I think we'd have a statewide, full-blown revelation. Because I think the people here would just go completely ape.
I know, but this is where we're missing the boat, because we have so much power in these local offices that the good guys need to be occupying. We need to be the sheriff. We need to be in control of city councils. And we need to recognize the massive amounts of power that are available in our areas. And we become so distracted.
Okay, did we lose her?
I'm not certain. She sounded like she fell off a cliff, didn't she?
Yeah, I know.
Well, I'm not sure where she was going, so I can't.
Right back to what I said time and time and time again, over and over and over and over. When are you people going to stop pretending you're ostriches? Pull your heads out of the stand. Start firing these people, arresting these people, and if they push it too far, you know what happens? Somebody comes up and, you know, just digging in the garbage. You know what we do, Jerry? You're a Georgia boy. You know what we do when we catch critters digging in our garbage, right?
Yeah, are you trying to tell us that we might see some really big possums and raccoons in the trash can?
This is why I tell people, anything that's got your name, anything connected to your bank, your hospital, your doctor, I don't care what it is. If it's got anything on there, your social security number, your phone number, your address, anything, burn it. Burn it. You shouldn't be throwing anything in your trash except glass, metal, plastic, stuff like this. People, burn it.
Yep, yep. Well, that or have one of those very small dot shredders that just grinds it up that you couldn't use it for anything except for maybe kindling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I incinerate most everything out here. So.
Mm-hmm.
I like incineration because it's a lot cleaner. It's nice. It just takes it right down to just nice fine powder. I scatter it out in the yard.
We got this subscription to the Georgia Department of Agriculture newsletter. And in the last edition of that newsletter, they said that you have to have the EPD's permission to burn outside. Now, I know you, a good law-abiding Georgian, went down there and got your permit for that outdoor trash burning, right?
No.
I didn't think so, bless your heart. I didn't think so. That's good to hear.
I don't ask nobody's permission to do nothing, Jerry. And you know, people around here, they know that I just don't care. That's why the police, the sheriff, nobody ever bothers me, because they know I just don't care. I'll stand there and I'll look at them like they're absolutely off their flipping rocker. And then when they're done, are you finished? I'm cool. You know, I got places to be, okay? I don't have time for this garbage. Am I breaking a law? No. Goodbye. And I don't, you know, last year, twice, and I ain't kidding you, Jerry, the FBI actually had our sheriff and our chief of police come out here to visit us. Last year, twice, in the spring of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they were having problems with some of the things I was saying on my show.
Okay. You got anything else for us, Lee?
No, that's it, man. People, you know, don't put up with this garbage. Get rid of all these idiots. Start doing for yourself and be responsible for yourself.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you for calling. We got to cut away to a break. When we come back, we got some other callers in the queue, and we still got this tragedy in the make here in America. We'll be right back.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
This whole scenario, Tony and I were talking about the show and where we were going to try to go. And we recognize, as we hope you do too, that the monetary system is the driving force behind this. And if these guys, these jackbooted thugs, weren't getting a paycheck, I don't think that they would be very willing to lay their lives on the line for the man to keep this kind of tyranny going. And there was a woman, and I can't think of her name. I'm not good with names as it is, but I can't think of this woman's name. And this is the second time recently that this quote that's attributed to her has come to my mind. And I can't even remember the quote exactly. Help me out here, America. She ran for either Senate or governor in the state of Arizona or New Mexico. And this goes back a ways. And she was involved in an organization that was on the internet for a little while called the Unorganized Militia. She batted for the other team, if maybe that's a memory hook for some of you. And she said something to the effect, but I think considerably more eloquently, that we're in a very precarious time in history where the growing tyranny.
Gary, I guess I'm going to have to finish that quote for you because it was just really funny. But basically, the idea was we're in an awkward point in history because the growing tyranny is just leaping forward exponentially, but it's still too early to kill the illegitimate children, if you will. I'm not sure what terminology I'm allowed to say.
I'm back with you.
Yes, you are. Hi, Gary. Welcome back to the show.
It was too early to shoot the bastard. It's still too early to shoot the bastard. That's what she said. But that's not the first part of it. Maybe somebody out there in radio land knows who I'm talking about and can call in and help me get that quote right. And maybe tell the woman's name, too. So, I'm sorry, babe.
I don't know. I think the quote's pretty good as it stands. We're in an awkward time, and it's still too early to kill the bastard. That says it all, Gary.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering what's going to precipitate the arrival of the proper time. Keep your heads down. Not in the holes, though. Don't put them down in the holes. Keep your heads down.
I would say if we were looking back in time for such a time as this, what would you place as that, about 1765, 1768?
No.
There's been no declaration.
I think it might be a little further along the curve than that. I'd say maybe 1773. We're going to have a Boston massacre event probably sometime in the very, very near future. And whether it's trumped up or not, like the last one was, isn't going to be of any consequence. And I think that that's going to turn the eyes of America a little bit more toward Washington D.C. And it's not going to be with wistful admiration.
No, I would imagine not, Jerry.
Well, dear, we got a couple of more callers in the queue. Let's go to Paul in New Jersey. Hey, Paul.
How you doing?
Good, sir. How about you?
Good. Listen, we know that the FBI is following the FBI fuel. I mean, not the FBI.
Paul, I didn't mean to do that to you on purpose, but we're going to cut away to a break, and you know you're going to be the first one up on the other side when we do come back. Hey, everybody, we're going to have a great next hour. Stay with us, and better yet, tell somebody about us. 1-800-313-9443. We'll be right back.